Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration this morning are from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 24, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. There it is written, "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." So far, our text, and we pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for these words and ask that by them today you would sanctify us, that you would make us holy, set us apart from this world by the powerful working of your word in our hearts. Strengthen our faith through these words, for they are the truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed, this is an important week, both here in our church, but also in our nation. This Thursday, our nation accords its honor and respect to those who have fought for our country in our armed forces. November 11th, all across our country, our thoughts turn to them and to the sacrifices that they made for us and for our country, for our way of life, for generations yet unborn. We celebrate them with waving flags and parades in every town. And though there's nothing wrong with a parade, marking the occasion with pomp is not the heart of Veterans Day. I think the more important thing is simple heartfelt gratitude to those who have served. We ought to be grateful. Now, it's true that there are some people who are not, but they ought to be. We owe our lives and the way we get to lead them in large part to the sacrifices of soldiers who fought for our country throughout the years. In a sense, though, there isn't a Veterans Day for the great hidden war that is raging all around us. Veterans Day is about those who return. But in the great spiritual war, not one escapes with his life or her life, except for a few like Enoch and Elijah and those who lived just at the very end of time. We're all destined to suffer death. That's the cruel reality of sin at work in our world and all its dreadful consequences, decay and disease and infirmity. So maybe we'll have a Memorial Day, a day to remember those who died in service, but not a Veterans Day. But there is a veteran of this war, one who truly did return to proclaim his victory, one who will return again to bring an end to this terrible war. He is Jesus, the Lord. And today we heard his words in Hebrews chapter 9. The text there speaks of three things that he has done for us. First, Jesus advocates for us. He defends us, in other words, before the Father. And secondly, Jesus sacrificed himself for us. Finally, Jesus will return for us. The first sentence says, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." I don't know if you caught that, but it says he appeared for us. That's different than just saying that he appeared in God's presence. God's everywhere. No one can pass beyond his presence. That's not what's meant. Jesus entered heaven itself on a mission to seek our advantage. He went there for us. He went before God for you and me. Now, this is a sanctuary made with human hands. It is, in many ways, a copy of the true one in heaven above. Most of the details here are meant to remind us of the true temple that awaits us in heaven. Where else do you find an altar, for example? Even more important was the temple in Jerusalem. That place was purpose-built to reflect the relationships and arrangements of spiritual things to the heavenly temple. God himself gave the specifications for Solomon's original temple. And Jesus went there many times during his earthly ministry. When Jesus was consecrated unto the Lord as Mary and Joseph's firstborn, it was there in the temple. When Jesus was a 12-year-old boy speaking with the elders of Israel, he was there in the temple. When he overturned the tables of the money changers and the sellers of sacrificial animals, it was there. Of course, he did all these things as he kept the law, God's law, on his mission to save us. But the text before us today tells us something truly remarkable. Jesus entered the heavenly temple, the true sanctuary for us. Remember that in the tabernacle and later in the temple, God commanded that it be constructed with three nested areas. The outer one, the courtyard. The Israelites would come there to bring their sacrifices and turn them over to the priests and so on, the sons of Aaron. But only the priests would enter the holy place. And only the high priest, one day a year, the Day of Atonement, would enter the most holy place. They were human beings like us. They were born of Adam. They were sinners. They had trouble listening to the Lord, just like us. But because God was drawing vivid pictures of the real temple in heaven, and more importantly, of the promised Savior, those priests had to be mighty careful to follow every ceremony to the letter. They had to be consecrated, for example, in order to enter into God's presence and offer the sacrifices. They dared not approach him without doing that, because that would give the impression that they were somehow approaching him based on their own righteousness. No, they were to only come into his presence when they were covered with the righteousness that God gave them. But Jesus was different. He is human. That's most certainly true. But he's not born of Adam. He's no sinner. He was the seed of the woman promised in Eden. His mother was Mary, but his father was God. He is God and man in one, sent for God, by God. For us. And so he lived as we should have lived. He never failed to take God seriously. He never failed to do the right thing. He entered not the courtyard or the holy place or even the most holy place. He came before the presence of God himself in heaven, bearing his own sinless life to lay before the Father so that his justice would be satisfied. One infinite life for all of our lives. Jesus didn't give up some earthly things. He didn't sacrifice a little time or effort or money. Earthly sacrifices have their place here on earth. Here we are to use the earthly things that God has given us for the good of those that we're entrusted to care for. We're to use them for our congregation. We're to use them for our neighbors. We're to use them for ourselves also. There, such sacrifices have a place, but they never do in heaven. Likewise, our vets have sacrificed their comfort, their blood, their sweat, their dignity, serving. But again, those sacrifices do not avail in heaven. Those are things for this earth. Maybe you have it in your mind that you have to somehow make up for your sins. It's all there. It's always there in us. It's in our nature to try to undo what Adam and Eve did, to try to make God happy ourselves. We sin against Him. We don't listen to carefully to what He has said. We find some pleasure that we'd rather worship than God. We open our mouths and say horrible things sometimes instead of loving things. Or we keep our mouths shut when we know we ought to be speaking the truth out loud when it really matters. Maybe you came here today as a sort of token sacrifice of your time to appease God. But know this. Even the sacrifices that were offered in the earthly temple, that were commanded by God Himself, they were not sufficient. Over and over, the blood of animals was spilled so that the blood would cover sin, but it never lasted. It never paid the full price. It was only there to be a picture of the one who was to come, of the Lamb of God. Only He could do what needed to be done. Jesus sacrificed Himself for us. As the greatest high priest, He came bearing that perfect life of His. It says, nor did He enter heaven to offer Himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But He has appeared once for all, at the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. What remains? What remains to be sacrificed? Jesus sacrificed Himself for us. His blood is the fountain and source of all life. His sacrifice was more than enough to pay for every sin. My sins and your sins, the sins of the whole world. Worth more than all the animals ever sacrificed on Israel's altars. God said, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." God said, For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the living God who raised Him from the dead. This is the meaning of Jesus' words on the cross, when He said, "It is finished, it's paid in full," He said. Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice for sin. Every sinner's sins paid for with His blood. He's not an animal, nor even a man in Adam's image, so that after He had made the sacrifice, Jesus put off death by His divine power on the third day. And He did it to show that His sacrifice succeeded where none other had. He did it to show that death has no power over Him. And so that means it now has no power over you. You will put it off as well by his power. That means that we live lives now that are not overshadowed by death. They don't need to be. We don't need to think about just coming to an end in the grave. We're not bound for the everlasting condemnation of hell. God has accepted Jesus' sacrifice for us. So the life we live to God. Thankful. Yes, one day death will come for us, but it will not have a grip on us. We'll rise to eternal life, and Jesus is the proof of that. And more than that, he's not staying away forever. He's not far from us even now. This time where he seems not to be here is the time of faith. This is the time to trust him at his word. Didn't he breathe on his apostles and say to them, whoever hears you hears me, and whoever hears me hears him who sent me? This is the time to listen when he speaks through the called pastors of his church. This is the time that we have to share that powerful word, to call to those who haven't yet heard it. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Jesus is returning. And then the judgment of all mankind. Look at your unbelieving neighbor. Recognize that Jesus is slow walking his return for them so that you can speak to them. Think about what God has blessed you with. You can serve them as Jesus served you. Recognize that God will do all the talking and that it may not go according to any kind of timetable that you would like. Recognize also that there probably will be opposition and persecution. After all, that's the way they treated Jesus. Then recognize that the real veteran is with you, the one who went through death to life for you and returned and is returning again. And recognize that we celebrate not a Veterans Day, but a Memorial Day on November 1st, All Saints Day. That's where we will soon be, gathered with all whom Jesus has saved. There in heaven, not there by our own goodness, but by his. Not there by our own goodness, but by his. Then when this is your vision of your life, when you see Christ in heaven ruling over all things for us, gratitude will rule in your hearts, not fear. Love will be our rule, not selfishness. Think on these things. Think on these things. The Lord has done great things for us. Let us be thankful. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.